Well, good morning to our first Advent service. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 1. We are going to look at Mary's, what's traditionally called Mary's song, the Song of Mary. It's traditionally called the Magnificat. It's actually the first word in this passage in the Latin Bible, which is the Bible that the church had for hundreds of years before there was translations. For Martin Luther translated it into German, and then English Bibles and so forth. But through church time and history, this passage from Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 45, it was called the Magnificat, or the Mary's Song. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this season and for the opportunity that we have to hit the pause button and to gather our thoughts and to rein in our hearts and to think about you coming, your first coming, and how you did not leave us to ourselves, that you came and walked amongst us, and that you died for our sins. You were the sacrifice for us on our behalf, and Lord, we thank you for that. And so, Lord, as we meditate and think about these things and the events leading up to your first coming, Lord, help us as we prepare to celebrate, help us to celebrate correctly your first coming, that you came to us, you stooped, you walked with us and you did this and you delivered us. And Lord, with this in mind, we cannot help to think about that you have promised that you are going to come again. And we are eternally grateful for that and trust you implicitly, Lord, that you have and you alone know the perfect timing, and we trust you. So, Lord, we come this morning circled around as a family of God and asking you to help us as we start preparing and as we go through this season for us not to lose what the real, true meaning of Christmas is. That we are celebrating you coming to us. So put forth your spirit, do the work that only you can do in our hearts. Grant us repentance. Pour your grace out upon us. And do that which brings you the most glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Mary's song. Mary's song, the Magnificat. It's a song that Mary shares from her heart. And it is actually full of scripture, Old Testament scriptures. There's references throughout this. And so it is obvious a song of praise that Mary is praying this and singing this and singing scripture. And it's a heart that as we can see from this song, that a heart, Mary's heart, was obviously full of Scripture, that she knew the Word of God and meditated on it and obviously believed it. If she was singing this and singing it out loud, that it was something that she had thought through, and in a way, her heart was saturated with Old Testament passages. It's very familiar, and many people believe that if you are familiar with Hannah's song in the Old Testament, when Hannah was giving praise that she was with child in 1 Samuel chapter 2, it's similar to this same thought and idea. You could read both of them. And so it's interesting to me that you see this young lady with child in this strange, hard circumstance, as we are going to see, and she is giving praise to God. And it's almost a natural outpouring. It was not something that I think she had to sit down and work very hard to get it out. It was something that I'm sure from a young lady's time of life, she had thought and meditated on many passages of Scripture and many promises of God not leaving them, and God being their Emmanuel, and God saving, going to bring the Messiah. And I'm sure as we all do, the anticipation for her, the hope that the Messiah was going to come, she longed for that. Amen. And wanted that. And so these passages of Scripture that come out in this song are hopeful to her. She is longing for the Messiah to come back. And so it's a wonderful, beautiful song. And the structures in the Hebrew language with this passage, they're very familiar. This is the start of our Advent season, a time of that the church traditionally has laid aside for us to focus on the coming of Christ. Advent is a Latin word also meaning the arrival or coming, the coming of Christ. I wasn't in here when Rick made the announcements, but if you don't already have it, there's little booklets out on the back table that John Piper wrote for you if you would like a little devotional book for Advent. They're out there for you for the whole month of or the whole time of Advent. You have some devotions that he's written up. Please pick one up, take it home. Please use it during this start of our Advent season as we are preparing our hearts for the coming, for us to celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus. And Mary's song of praise is a prelude to the coming Messiah. It's a prelude to the coming of our Lord and our Savior. You know the background story. I mean, most of you guys have grown up in church. Most of you know these stories to this song. This young lady, Gabriel, was sent, the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary to inform Mary that she was with child. And Mary, being a virgin, this was obviously hard news to hear. But this angel giving this message to her and her being engaged to Joseph. Could you, as you probably possibly, could you imagine all the controversy that went along with that? I mean, we have talked about it in many years past. What was Joseph thinking? I mean, God had to come and speak to him. And, you know, what was Mary's family thinking? What all the circumstances? I mean, the Nazareth was not a large town. It was a very small place. And what were the people saying around her? And it's interesting that Gabriel tells her about Elizabeth and the child that Elizabeth is carrying, her cousin Elizabeth, and the child that she's carrying, John the Baptist. And so Mary sets out to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. And what a visit that was. And the minute that Mary and, you know the story, the minute that Mary and Elizabeth came together and greeted each other, Elizabeth, her womb was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the baby in her womb jumped with blessings over Mary's greeting. And this is where this hymn comes from. This is what happens, that the Holy Spirit comes and falls upon Elizabeth, and John the Baptist that is in her womb leaps in praise of his Lord and Savior that Mary is carrying. And so with all this, with the grace and the mercy that the Lord has poured upon Mary, she burst out in song, the Magnificat. And that's what we are going to look at this morning. There's really four parts to this song, if you want to break it down. And so we're going to look at these four individual parts of Mary's song. It, to me, it's a wonderful thing. I struggle because I want to share these messages. Matter of fact, we're going to look at not just Mary's song, but we're going to look at Elizabeth's song and Zechariah's song and Simeon's song, because it's a wonderful thing to see the joy and the praise of them anticipating the arrival of the Messiah, the arrival of their Lord and Savior. And I would hope that in some ways we would be that excited about celebrating our Lord coming to you and I, that He has not left us alone. Isn't that wonderful? That's good news of grace. Listen, we're all messed up, aren't we? All of us. Our hearts are all tangled up with matters and worries that we should, even mine. Guys, it's not just you. It's your pastor too. That's flesh and blood, that we worry and we get so wrapped up in things that we need not to be. And it's in these songs, they are so simple, but they are so grace filled, and I hope that as we go through it, I pray that it's as Philip said with us singing Christmas hymns. I mean, how wonderful it is to be able to sing Christmas hymns for 5 weeks. Amen. I mean, who doesn't? You have to be the Grinch to not like Christmas hymns. Are there some Grinches in here? Hello? Is Ethan a Grinch? No, Ethan's not a Grinch. Okay. All right. But this is, it's a time for us to rejoice that our Lord has come to us. As messed up as we are, as broken, as many mistakes, as many things that we run after and chase after, He has come to us. And Mary captures that in this first song. So let's look at it. Four parts of Mary's song. Some of you may already have this written down in your Bible. The first part is Mary praises the Lord for His intervention. She gives Him praise. Look at verse 46, 47, and 48. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded," listen to this, "regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." The Lord didn't leave Mary to herself. He didn't just say, "Hey, you're with child, you're carrying this child, and it's going to be a special child, and He's going to save His people from their sins, and it's going to be the Messiah." He didn't just leave her with that state. He intervened, and Mary said, "He has seen my lowly estate." The Lord was with her. God saw fit to use her in His plan. She acknowledges her dependence upon God. She says God did not need her, and she needed Him. She's saying that, "Lord, you found me. You're my Savior. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And He regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. Lord, I need You. You don't need me. I'm the one that needs You." Only sinners need a Savior. Amen? Only those who understand how they have broken the covenant of the Lord, and that they have broken the commandments of God, and that they've sinned against a holy, righteous God. Only sinners need a Savior. Like Jesus has said, only the sick need a physician, right? And so she's acknowledging her brokenness. And isn't it interesing? I talk with this with Bill Tinker all the time, but if you know about Catholic dogma, and they talk about the sinlessness of Mary and actually her mother, Mary's mother too, but that Mary was perfect and without sin, and I want to think, have you ever read the Magnificat? Have you ever read what Mary said? It's dumbfounding to me that Mary is acknowledging her sin openly. And it's interesting, too, that the construction in the original language here is actually found in Habakkuk chapter 3. You could probably, in your Bible, it probably reference Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. Right, I want you to write it down, because if you look at the context of this hymn that the prophet Habakkuk sings, just in these three verses, I'm going to read 17, 18, and 19 so you can kind of get an understanding of what's going on. But listen to this song. It's a hymn that he writes in these three verses. It says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom," listen how dark and broken this is. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, then comes verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19. And the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on the high hills. So she's acknowledging her brokenness. She's saying, Lord, I'm debased. I'm broken. I don't have anything to give you. But you have not forgotten my lowly state. You see me and you have come to me. And so she's praising him for his intervention. Point number two is this. She starts extolling. She praises him for his attributes. So she gives him praise that God has seen her and seen the state that she's in, and God came to her. And now she's given him praise for his attributes. In verse 49 and 50, two verses, it says this, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him." Listen to this. "His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Glory, right? So she gives him praise for his attributes. Listen, his power, his might. How in the world is this possible? Can you imagine thinking, first of all, an angel coming and visiting you as a very young person and telling you that you're carrying a child when you've never been with a man, period. And she's sitting there going, only by God's might, right? Only by the power of God is this even. And she's believing it. She's trusting in this. And she's sitting there going, I know you're an angel. I mean, obviously, you're a heavenly being. And I'm believing this message that you're delivering to me. And I know that you are all powerful. And God, you can do anything that you want. Amen? And she is singing that. She is saying here, he who is mighty has done great things for me. How many times have you felt like that? God, the older I get, the older I get, I'm trying to be careful. The older I get, and the more I look back and see what God has done in our lives, I'm amazed. Amen? And you know, and y'all know this, especially the you guys that have walked with the Lord a lot longer than I have. When Beth and I sit down and share stories with our kids, it's harder for them to grasp it. It's hard. It's not, they believe it. They believe the testimonies that their mother and dad are sharing with them, but it's hard for them to really grab a hold of it. And then when we sit and watch them struggle through life, you guys know, and then watch the Lord do act after act after act in their lives. I think about this verse. Mercies from generation to generation to generation. So we see His power, and she acknowledges that. And she also acknowledges His holiness. Fear and reverence and perfect that He comes to her and He is going to do the right thing. And so you see this acknowledgement of, Lord, Your ways are higher than my ways. What You're calling me to do, You know, I don't. And she's acknowledging this. And she's saying, You are holy. You are holy, and you are going to keep Your word because You're perfect, because You are holy. And so there's this fear and reverence, surely with Mary and carrying this child, and she's involved and she's walking in this, and she's thinking, Lord, I'm trusting what You tell me. How many times do you think Mary had doubts? I'm serious. How many times do you think she had fears? And she struggled. You think you struggle at night going, God, are You really going to do this for my children like You did it for me? Like, as gracious and merciful and holy and as powerful as You've done all these things, are You really going to do this in our children, in our grandchildren? Are You really going to do this, Lord? Wonder how Mary felt. And she's acknowledging, You're all powerful. Lord, You're holy. There's a reverent fear that's going on. But Lord, You're perfect and You're righteous because You're holy. And I'm going to walk in what You tell me to do. I'm going to be obedient. And then with might and with holiness, with power and holiness, thank God there's mercy. Amen. Because Mary just said in the first point, I'm weak, I'm lowly, I'm a nobody. Lord, I'm broken. And you're calling me to this task. And You have to give me mercy. And not only is He going to give her mercy, but for generation to generation, which of course He's talking about. Of course she is, as she's singing this song, that the Holy Spirit is leading her, and the Holy Spirit is of course addressing and pointing to Jesus, that this child is going to bless all generations. Of course that is the meaning. But I think it is not out of context to say that He does this same work of mercy with all of His children. Right? That blessings flow for generations. For those who fear Him, for those who trust Him, for those who see and understand that it is only by His mercy. This is truly good news that it doesn't stop. His mercies have no end. Amen? That I can trust the Lord that His mercies are going to be upon my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. That I have to trust Him, not me. Amen? That I have to listen to Him and obey Him and follow Him And I have to believe that He is going to do this. Because He's God. So in Mary's song, we see a praise of intervention. We see a praise of His attributes. And we see a praise of His sovereignty, which is another attribute, but it gets a category of its own. 51 through 53, it says this. He has shown strength with His arm, and He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and extolled the lowly. He has lifted the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. God is sovereign. He is the ruler of all. He is the creator and the sustainer of all life. He holds all things together. Listen, we talk about this so much in our here at New Hope, and I know I'm banging this drum, but if we really believe this, it would help us in our lives, that there literally is not one molecule in all the universe that is rebelling against God. Really. Not one single molecule. That God is completely sovereign and He's working His plan out. And when He says, when she's reading or singing here and she's saying, listen, you're going to put down the mighty. Their might is nothing. They're them being proud, that you are going to lift up the brokenhearted, the broken and the contrite. You are the one that comes and lifts up the lowly, the humble, the poor in spirit. You are the one that does this because you're sovereign. He removes the proud and feeds the hungry. Everything depends upon Him. Amen. Psalm 92, doesn't that talk about that the beast in the field, that what they are fed, God alone gives them? He is the sovereign Lord. He is the Holy One. So she esteems highly His sovereignty and acknowledges His rule and says, God, I trust You. You know what's best and You do these things. You are the one that judges between men and You work this out. I'll be honest with you. I need help with this because I struggle with the injustices in our world. Amen? I struggle with that. It's hard for me. But I have to go back always and I have to have these self-talks and go, Brandon, it is God that's in control. And there's a reason. And He is calling you to trust Him. You have to trust Him that His plan, I mean, listen, you guys are not alone. I do this all the time. Brandon, you have to believe that His plan is perfect. And it's hard for me, especially when I watch my kids sometime. Right? Am I the only one that struggles with their kids? Hello? I used to just be able to grab them and whip the tar out of them. Some of y'all are saying amen all over the place. But I have to sit back and go, Lord, You are the sovereign ruler and you do these things. And you were, now it doesn't mean we, listen to me, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. It doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility to confront and to tell the truth in love and to not sweep things under the rug and to not hide things. Don't misunderstand me. Do you understand me? You have a responsibility and God will hold you accountable. Hear me. Okay? We have a responsibility, but it does mean that there's also a responsibility to acknowledge that God is absolutely sovereign. And He is the one that judges and moves people. He does this work. Right? So, in this song of Mary, she praises His intervention that God didn't leave her alone. She praises His attributes and she acknowledges His sovereignty. Last point. You ready? She celebrates His faithfulness. 54 and 55. Listen to this. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She's celebrating God. She's saying, Lord, You've remembered us and You're bringing the Messiah and You're doing what You said You were going to do. Even though we don't deserve it, You're doing it. You have said You were going to do this and You're doing it. Praise be to God. Amen. He's acknowledging it. He's saying, though He is running all of creation, though God is holding all things together, though He has a perfect plan that He's working out, guess what? He hasn't forgotten the smallest of us. Amen? He hasn't forgotten the Drahams or the Belangers. Are the Pendletons, are the Griffins, the Gartmans, the Welches, the Boyettes. He hasn't forgotten us. Amen? Though He is running all of this, though He is sovereign over all things, He hasn't forgotten small little Israel, and He hasn't forgotten you and I. He doesn't forget His covenant. He is kind to His people and He cares. You know, when I am struggling with these thoughts of God, I'm so insignificant. I feel like I'm ashamed to ask You for insignificant things. I always think of, and some of you may remember this, always think of the family that we were connected with the Bouts that were with Wycliffe. And she was Brenda's roommate in the Howards. And they were working with Wycliffe, and he was translating, and him and his family, they're all grown up now. The kids are all married and have kids of their own, and they're still translating Scripture in this tribe. And they were in this tribe in Papua New Guinea, living with this tribe, translating the Scripture for this small little tribe. And he made a phone call to us and said, I can't remember their girl's name, but can you, they had a mudslide that came into the village. You remember this, Kim? You will when I tell you. The mudslide came into the village. Do you know what I'm about to say? Do you remember? Okay. I was hoping somebody remembered. The mudslide came into the village and just wiped them out. I mean, wiped the village out. And they were recovering things and digging things out. And he called and shared and said, please pray for us. Please pray for the village. Because the chiefs all thought because they let Christians in the camp that they were cursed. Please pray for us and please pray for us. And we were like, absolutely, we will. We are going to pray. We are going to get on our face. And this little church prayed for them. And he said, I know this is so silly, but my little girl had a baby doll that she lost in that mudslide. And could you pray that we find that little baby doll? I thought, absolutely. We're going to pray. And guess what happened? And the whole family rejoiced because God cared enough to find a little child. That's all she had in the world was this little baby doll. And God cared about it. Amen. That's this. That's this, that she's celebrating God's faithfulness because she knew how lowly and broken, how nothing, insignificant she was. And she even realized really how insignificant Israel was. But God didn't forget them, and God was bringing a Messiah, that He's faithful to the remnant. Amen? To the small, insignificant group of faithful, His faithful followers, God is faithful to you and I. So with this, I have, with this song, I really have four questions for you. And they're real simple questions. You ready? These are the four questions. Has God intervened in your life? It's a yes or no question. Has He come into your life? Has He intervened? I know He has with me. Has He intervened in your life? Yes or no? Question number two. Have you seen His might in your life? I mean, the sheer power of God just come down. The right arm of God showing itself in your life. Have you seen that? Number three, are you glad that He is in control? Yes or no? Number four, are you grateful that He has you even when you don't have Him? Because listen to me, even the most faithful, the strongest believers, let's just talk about in this room, this is a small group this morning, even the most faithful, the most God-fearing and loving ones in here, as Jonathan Edwards says, our foot slippeth. And we are weak. Right? And we find ourselves in unbelief and struggling. And we even say, I can't use the D word. We even say things that aren't smart. sometimes, God, where are you? Don't we? Hello? Don't we all do that? So aren't you glad, yes or no, that He's got you even when you don't have Him all the time? So, let me say this. If you were able to answer yes to all of these, let me just say this. You are able to sing this song. You just sang Mary's song. So let's spend time with this. Let's go through it. Y'all meditate on it. Use it in your time, in your quiet time. Sing this song with Mary. Amen? Praise Him that for His intervention. Praise Him for His attributes. Thanking that He is sovereignly in control of all things. And celebrate that He is faithful to His word, that He is going to come back for you and I. Let's pray, and then let's sing and go home. Lord, thank You for this beautiful passage of Scripture. Thank You for the song that You put in Mary's heart, and that we are able to read it and look at it. Lord, may this song be the song of our hearts. May we be able to sing it with faith and trust. May we know it like she knew it. And Lord, she understood this and she sang this song in a very troubling, hard time in her life. May we find in our most difficult struggles of life Mary's song. Thank You, Lord, for Your gift of the Spirit. Thank You that You have not left us to ourselves. Thank You for Your word that we can trust and we can read. And even when we don't feel it, we can believe it and walk it no matter what. I thank You, Lord. Thank You for this season. Lord, as we start out Advent, Lord, help us, Lord, to fight to keep Christ in the center of all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.